It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, we will hear about a remarkable journey undertaken by a brave and loyal miniature schnauzer named Sissy, who lives in Cedar Rapids. But first, Iowa State University's home management program was designed to prepare women to be excellent homemakers, and that included preparing them to be mothers. In 1924, someone decided that these women should actually have experience caring for real babies. This hour, we'll meet one of the students who cared for a baby. We'll talk about the history of the program. But first, John Reichard is here. He was one of the babies cared for in the program. He started his life at an orphanage in Des Moines and then moved into the program when he was 6 weeks old. He was known then as Baby Ned, and he is on the line with us now. Hello, John.
Hi. Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
Now, you were adopted when you were a year old, but you spent most of your first year of life living in one of these home management houses at Iowa State University. And this is a history that you've always known about yourself.
Yeah, well, you just told me something that I didn't know, and that was that I was in an orphanage first and then went there. I had always understood that I went directly at 2 weeks old to Iowa State. So you've already told me something that I didn't know.
All right. Well, that was the story that I got. You may have more information than I do. So you went into this home management program, and we'll talk more about the program later. But at any given time, you had six or seven college seniors who cared for you in this home as things went on, and those seniors took turns. So they'd be there, I think, for about a half a quarter, right?
Well, I'm not sure. What I have is I have the semesters, and what I have is 12 mothers for the first semester and 12 mothers for the second semester, which I assume would play out for the whole year.
Oh, wow. And they kept a scrapbook about you. Can you tell me about this scrapbook?
Yeah, it was a baby book, and I was in all kinds of different poses. They had poetry in there about me, and it talked about what I did on any certain day, and rocked me in a chair, and just all kinds of different things. So my first year there at Iowa State, I was pretty well documented.
They also would write messages about you, about the kinds of food that you ate. Your whole life was really written down, wasn't it?
Exactly.
And it's full of, the scrapbook is full of pictures of you with many of the different women that took care of you. Are their names in the book as well?
Their names are not in the book. I had a list of 12 of the mothers, and in 1991 I went to Iowa State and talked to their historian, and I traded them. Or actually, I had the 24 names, and I traded them the 12 names they didn't have for any names and addresses of the ladies that were, still alive at that time. On my way home from that trip Lake Tahoe, I stayed overnight, and I called one of those mothers. And I said, "This is your son, Ned." And the lady said, we don't have any children. You have a wrong number. And I said, "Oh, come on, Mom. Don't you remember Ned from Iowa State?" And she said, "Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you how to get over to my house. You come right over here." So my wife and I went over there. We took pictures with them. And unfortunately, we have not been able to find the envelope where we had the information in it and who the lady was. But she was in the baby book, and she was holding me sitting in a chair.
Wow.
But I was never able to make any contact with any of the other ladies, but that was kind of an interesting experience.
Now, you were adopted by your parents when you were about a year old. So I guess this is kind of a silly question, but do you have any memories from that first year of life? Any images in your mind?
Well, other than, you know, what I see looking at the book. And I donated that book back to Iowa State in May. And I made copies of it on my computer, and I've given scan discs to my kids. But I felt like the book should be there at Iowa State. I do know that the judge who sent me to Iowa State was in my adoptive parents' Sunday school class. And I know that two of my adoptive uncles were lawyers, and they handled the adoption. And one of their wives was the judge's legal secretary. So it was kind of just a family affair, and I used to see the judge all the time when my folks would go back to Iowa to visit. So it was kind of a different experience also.
Now, in this day and age, people tend to be very open about adoption. When you were a kid, that wasn't always the case. A lot of parents kept that part of a child's history secret from them. Why did your parents choose to be so open?
That's just the way they were. my sister was also adopted, and I just found out yesterday meeting with one of my nieces that my sister never told the kids until one day they came home from school and said, the kids said, I'm adopted. But my folks, with my sister and I, they told us right up front.
Did having this baby book and knowing a little bit about your first year of life, how did that make you feel when you were growing up? This was different from other kids.
Well, you hear a lot of different things about what goes on in orphanages and so on and so forth. You hear that there might be one person over 10 or 15 kids. But, you know, I had a special year because look at all the doting and that I got and all the love I got from all those mothers. That was pretty exciting.
Right. So one of the reasons that the program was discontinued was the concern that not having one dedicated caregiver would be bad for attachment and bad for the babies in a number of different ways. But you point out that had you spent that first year in an orphanage, there may have been one person taking care of 12 kids, and you were one child being cared for by 12 women.
Absolutely.
There are other concerns that stopped that program, and of course, many changes in child welfare and how that was handled in the state of Iowa as well. But it sounds like at this point in your life, this part of your history is pretty special to you.
It is.
Why is that?
Well, I just think that I got a good start out of everything. I mean, going from there and going to my adoptive parents, life could have been a lot worse for me, and it makes me appreciate the beginning I got, and I try to pass along things to other people who adopt or have been adopted, and I don't know, it was just special to me, and I was glad I had that opportunity.
And you have been back to visit Iowa State University. Have you actually been able to visit the house where you lived? Or
well,
is that has that been torn down? Okay.
There's other things there, but in 1991 I went back. I have a cousin, Betty Flint, who I hadn't seen since 1953, and her husband graduated from Iowa State and was a professor there, and so she set me up with the historian in 1991 when I went back because I wanted to find out a little bit more about what was going on, and I had in the back of my mind at that time that I was going to donate the book to the university. I just had not made up my mind at that point to do it then, but I knew at some point I would give that book back.
Now, I'm guessing that a lot of the babies that went through this program had these scrapbooks made about them. Does the university have other scrapbooks as well?
The university only had record of one semester and one baby, and that was me. They didn't have any other. They had 12 of the ladies, but like I say, I had the other 12, which made the 24, but they, I don't think they have had any record of anybody else.
So this is a very special piece of history that you've been able to preserve.
Yes.
Oh, John, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. I'm also, stay with us for just a moment. I want to bring Sandy Ulner into the conversation. She was in the home management program as one of the last groups to have a baby in the house the summer of 1958. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
And this was a while back, but tell me, just very briefly, tell me about the baby that you helped to care for.
Well, we had a little boy, and as I recall, he was about 3 months old, and that was his first session in a home management house, and I think that he was staying for the second half of the summer quarter. We were still on quarters at that point, and I chose to go into home management in the summer. I was graduating at the end of November and getting married in December. So I chose to save that till rather near the end of my senior year. And we had a wonderful experience with our little boy. We also had another little boy in the home management house because it so happened that our advisor and her husband had a three-year-old. So we had a three-year-old and, as I recall, about a three-month-old
baby. Wow. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll hear more about your story in just a moment. Mary DeBach is also going to join us to talk about the home management program. She's a former assistant professor in the College of Family and Consumer Science. Sandy Ulner was in the home management program as one of the last groups to have a baby in the house. And John Reichert started his life as Baby Ned, and he spent nearly a year in one of these home management houses at Iowa State University. We'll continue this conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up later this hour, we will find out about an amazing journey that was undertaken by a brave and loyal miniature schnauzer who lives in Cedar Rapids. Her name is Sissy. We'll find out more about her in about a half an hour. With me right now is Mary DeBacca. She's a retired diversity director at Iowa State University. She's also a former assistant professor in the College of Family and Consumer Science. Hello, Mary.
To be here.
Thank you so much for being here today. Sandy Ulner is also here. She graduated in the home management program at Iowa State University in 1958. And this hour, we're talking about a period of time during the home management program at Iowa State where college seniors actually lived in houses. They had a number of tasks that they were to learn to make them great homemakers. They also had the care of babies before those babies went to their adoptive families. A few minutes ago, I spoke to a man who spent the first year of his life as one of those babies in this program. Sandy was part of one of the last classes to have a baby in this program. And Mary, I wonder if you could give us a little bit of background on why it was decided to bring babies into the program.
Well, Charity, I think that babies came into the program for a number of reasons. There were orphanages at that time, and it was also felt that this was an opportunity for young women to really understand how it is to balance their studies and taking care of a child, as well as doing all the other things that were expected of them as students at Iowa State.
And can you give me an idea of some of the other things that they would have been doing and really studying during the time that they would have been living in these home management houses?
They would have been taking some classes. And then the home management house was really the sort of a capstone or the application of things that they had been learning in the classroom. One of the big things, of course, was in the economic part of it. because the girls that lived there had to work with a budget. Usually there were two or three different levels of budgets as far as what was available for food purchasing. They had to plan the menus around the nutrition requirements as well as the cost. They were able to use some of the United States Department of Agriculture information on the cost of different kind of diets, depending on the number of people in a family. So one of the things was to work within budgets. They also then had to, in the case of having babies there, they had the opportunity to have studied child development and then to actually see how these small babies developed, even though they were only there for half of a semester or half of a quarter. It was a good experience for them to see how those babies reacted.
Absolutely. And Sandy, when you moved into the house, you and the other women in the house, you took turns at these tasks. How did that work?
Yes, we did. Yes. There were, as I recall, about 8 different tasks, and there were 8 of us. And so you were either in charge of meals, or you were assisting with meals, in charge of the baby, or assisting with the baby, and that was the way that it went for the weeks that you were in there. So you had a chance at everything.
When you moved into the house, what were you most nervous about?
Well, I was majoring in food, so the food part, I guess, didn't really bother me too much. I would suppose probably the baby, because I was an only child, and I really had never done a lot of babysitting. However, I knew that there would be a lot of support in the house, and there was an advisor there. So, but I guess if you were to ask me to choose one thing, it would probably be the infant.
And, well, I think trying to prepare meals for 8 people would have been the thing that would have made me most nervous. I mean, that seems like a pretty big task. You're feeding a lot of people.
Well, it is, but you've been working on that project in classes. You've been in the tea room. You've been in catering, probably. And so you've been preparing food for a number of people. I think for some girls that really was a problem. If someone was in education, for example, and hadn't taken a lot of foods courses, yes, that was more of a challenge.
So with the baby care, did you sleep in the same room with the baby? Or, I mean, I don't think you probably had baby monitors. How did you know when the baby was crying?
As I recall, the baby had his own room, and the girls shared two a room. And, well, I guess it was like in the old days, like when I was growing up, my mother just had to hear me when I cried. In fact, back when my children were growing up, you just heard them when they cried. So that wasn't a problem, really.
And did you wake up when the baby cried when it was your turn? Or did sometimes other women wake up and say, hey, you need to go take care of the baby?
No, I woke up. I've always been that way. It doesn't take much. I can be sound asleep, but it doesn't take much to wake me up. So that wasn't a problem.
So do you remember from taking care of the little boy in your care, what were some of the challenges for you?
Well, we had a good baby, so we didn't have one that cried a lot. That's a good question. I don't ever remember being really worried about anything, I guess. It was a different thing for me to have to get up during the night, as it was for all of us. You didn't ever have a really good night's sleep, and if he decided that he wanted to be really social during the night, well, that was your job to keep him happy. But other than that, we had a very good baby. He was healthy, he was happy, and that helped a lot.
We're talking about Iowa State University's home management program, specifically during the time between 1924 and 1958, when seniors in home management actually had care of a baby or an infant, up to about a year old in a house where they all lived together and took care of all of the household needs. Many, many women went through this program. If this is part of your history, we'd love to hear from you this hour as well. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Mary, this home management program existed well beyond when there were infants or babies actually brought into the program, right? How long did women live in these communal homes as part of their capstone year?
I was going to congratulate Sandy because she lived in a very nice home management house. There were three duplexes right at the edge of campus, at least it was at the edge of campus then, very well equipped. And so this continued without the babies. And Sandy mentioned that there was a married advisor. In fact, in my experience, there were other married advisors there who had a little apartment in the basement, mm-hmm. and who had infants. It wasn't expected that the students would take care of those infants, but at least there was a baby around. I think one of the things that changed after there were no babies was perhaps there was more emphasis given to how to balance the opportunity to have a professional career and balance that with managing a home. So that I would say Dean LeBaron, who was there from the mid-50s to the mid-70s, her emphasis was, yes, students need hands-on training, which was really the home management. One of those was the home management house. But they need to be prepared for how to manage their own living situation, whether that's with a family or not, and the possibility of having a career in some aspect of, at that time, it was still called home economics.
Right. So at this point, the program evolved to meet the changing needs of women in society. When it first started, it was designed to prepare women to be homemakers and to be successful homemakers, right?
In addition, I think we should emphasize that it was an opportunity to put to practice some of the new science that was being developed in nutrition, for example, or in the understanding of how children develop, or in new processes of managing money, new equipment such as washing machines and so forth. It was a time when the university was extending out to the rest of the state through the extension programs. It was a time where vocational education was important, and Iowa State prepared several home economists to go out to be the home ec teachers at the high schools. And so I think that women were beginning to see aspects of home economics as career possibilities, as well as being homemakers.
Many women went through this program. You can join us if this is part of your personal history at 866-780-9100. Jean is on the line next in Osage. Hi, Jean.
Good morning.
And you lived in one of these houses.
Yes, I was in the last half of the fall quarter of 1950. I was going to graduate then in December. And besides the various household tasks, you know, like the caring for the baby and the food preparation, we were to entertain someone. And
give a dinner party or something like that?
Yeah, to dinner or a brunch or whatever might fit in with our guest schedule. And the person we decided to entertain, some of them knew him. He was on the music faculty, and they said he was a real easy person to entertain. So that's the one we had for a meal. And one of our class members was from the South and lived on a farm that grew pecans. And her family sent us a gunny sack full of pecans. We spent a lot of time cracking and picking out those pecans, and we had wonderful desserts and uses for those pecans. And we serve pecan pie quite often.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you chose this member of the music faculty because you thought he wouldn't be very picky, or was...
We thought he was easy to entertain. He was a good conversationalist and so on.
So was that the part you were a little nervous about, Gene?
No. I'll tell you what I was nervous about was I was afraid I would not hear the baby and wake up. And actually, I had to be awakened by someone several times.
How old was your baby that you cared for?
He was quite a small baby. I think he was about 3 or 3.5 months old at the end of the quarter. And he was adopted by a family in Cedar Rapids, we heard.
Oh, wonderful.
And since he was so small, he slept more than an older baby would. So we didn't have him downstairs with us as much as we would have had an older baby.
And you had a hard time hearing him at night?
I did. I was too much of a sound sleeper.
Gene, did you have children of your own later on?
Yes. My husband and I had 3.
Did you feel like that experience prepared you?
Well, yes. I think it probably did to some extent. But I did hear my own children when they wakened.
Yeah, there's something about your own child's cry.
Yeah.
Mary, I can imagine that in this program, talking with women who went through the program, that there are a lot of stories like Jean's of I didn't wake up when the baby cried, or mishaps with entertaining. Have you heard a lot of stories like that?
Oh, of course. And the entertaining one always lent itself for a little panic in the dining room. Did they have everything just right? In the kitchen, would the person who or the family that was there to be entertained, would they like what we were serving? One of my students had decided she would make a Jell-O ring. She'd never done that before, and so she was going to unmold the Jell-O, and she held it under the hot water in the faucet. And the Jell-O went glug glug right down the sink. I guess part of the experience of living in a home management house was to be flexible. So they had to come up with some other kind of a salad to serve at the meal that evening. And of course, everyone was rather straight faced then as the entertainment started in the living room.
Gene, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. And before we get to the break, I want to get Bethany in Storm Lake into the conversation. And you also lived in one of these homes, but not as a student, right?
That's right. I was a baby.
Wow.
I was it was in 1965, and my mother was in charge of one of the home management houses. She was a graduate student, and she and my dad adopted me. And I lived there for a while, and I have great pictures of all the girls kind of taking care of me.
Oh, wonderful. And I'm sure there were never any shortage of babysitters.
I don't think there ever was a shortage. from what I can tell, from what my mom and dad have told me, it was a very pleasant time. And so I feel really privileged to have been one of those babies.
Yeah. How long did your family live there?
Well, that's a really good question. I know I was adopted when I was 5 months old, and so I think maybe we were there for the summer, and then my parents moved out to a place on Friley Road.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Bethany, thank you so much for sharing that story with us today.
Yeah, well, it was great to hear about all these stories from that time, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. You can join our conversation, too, at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And if this home management program at Iowa State University was part of your education, we would love to hear your stories. And I have to ask you, Mary, before we get to the break, how were students graded on baby care?
Well, I wasn't there. When they had the babies, but certainly we had criteria sheets, and the students knew what those criteria were on which they were going to be graded, and that had included the babies as well when they were there. And pretty much everyone knew how they were doing in home management house. You had to check themselves as well as the instructor having input.
Well, and I suppose they had to help and support each other, too.
They did.
And we'll talk more about the relationships with the other women in the house. Sandy, I know you have some thoughts about that. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about Iowa State University's home management program, specifically between the times of 1924 and 1958, when the women who lived in these homes actually had care of infants. But if you lived in one of these homes even after that time, we'd love to hear your story. 866-780-9100. Mary DeBaca is here. She's a retired diversity director at Iowa State University and a former assistant professor in the College of Family and Consumer Science. And Sandy Ulner was in the home management program in 1958. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in just about 10 minutes, we will find out about a brave and loyal little miniature schnauzer who took an amazing journey in the early morning hours of Saturday morning in Cedar Rapids. That's coming up in a moment. But right now, we're talking about Iowa State University's home management program, a home management program that actually required seniors in the program to live in a home together for a period of time. They took care of the home. They prepared meals. They had to entertain someone. They also, for many years, had care of an infant. You can join the conversation if this is part of your history at 866-780-9100. With me, Mary DeBaca, retired diversity director at Iowa State University. She's also a former assistant professor in the College of Family and Consumer Science. She received her degree in home management and taught in the department. Sandy Ulner is here. She was in the home management program as one of the last groups to have a baby in the house in the summer of 1958. And Arlene is on the line in Bettendorf. Hello, Arlene.
Hello.
Hi, and this is part of your history, too.
Well, yes. I think I did it in a summer session, if I remember right, because I was worried about trying to do all those things and then go to class. I remember that's one of my concerns. But one of the things that I remember was this work-study thing we did. We happened to be in the home management house that did not have automatic washer and dryer. And so this washing and wringing out clothes was a totally new experience to a lot of the students. So I can remember we had to count the steps we took and how much waste motion we were making and doing a wash.
Oh, wow. And you had a baby in the house too?
Oh, yes, yes. And I also was worried about trying to wake up at night. And I know the first night I was not in charge of the baby, but I do remember waking up anyhow.
Tell us about your baby. Do you remember?
Well, I just remember, you know, taking care of it. I don't really know whatever happened to it or anything like that. But I think our advisor, I didn't realize some of them, you know, actually adopted those children. So I can't really remember what happened
right.
to ours.
Right. Any mishaps that you remember?
No, but I can remember taking turns of somebody having to do the cooking, and sometimes there wasn't a whole lot there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But so these budgets were tight.
Right, right, yes. They watched all of them. We had to keep track of all of that, yes.
Well, and Mary, you mentioned having different levels of budgets for different houses. Did you just get sort of a luck of the draw? You're more well off or you're not well off?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm sure we were the low economy one because of the non-automatic washing.
Right.
Because some kids had no idea how to wash and that, but I happened to grow up on a farm where we had done that, so it wasn't too big a shock.
So you had an advantage there.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Arlene, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
This is Mary.
Yeah.
And I would say that sometimes within the same house over the period of time, the students operated on three different budgets so that they would actually see and feel and eat the difference in these different levels.
That is correct, Mary. Yes. In the length of time that you were in there, different girls were assigned different budgets.
Okay.
And so you did learn what you could do on a small amount of money. And it was quite a bit. It was a good practice.
I'd like to pick up on Arlene's use that it was a new experience. And I think that was one of the reasons that the home management house really got started way back in the 20s, was that there were a lot of people who lived, you know, in farm communities out in the state. Some did not have running water or rural electricity even at that time. And so it was really a new experience coming into the university and then trying to do homemaking with different kinds of equipment that they may than they may have had at home.
Yeah, interesting.
It was brought back to me as well when I was at the University of Ghana visiting with an Iowa State University home economics graduate who was a professor there. And this was in 2005. And she took me to their home management house.
Oh.
It had made such an impression on her as a student at Iowa State that she wanted the students in Ghana to have that experience. And she said, we have so many people from the interior of the country that when they come here, it's a whole new world.
Wow. That's fascinating. And we're nearly out of time, but I want to get to one more caller. Marilyn's on the line in Mount Vernon. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello.
Hi. When did you live in one of these homes?
I think I lived there at the same time Sandy did in 1958.
Oh, really?
We had the baby we had was birthday was August 14th, and my first child was born on August 14th, so that was fun to remember her. I wanted to talk about all the equipment that was available to use at the home management house. Was just like going to the best equipped store you could find in the basement. There were shelves of dishes and glasses and silver and vases to put on your tables. And did I mention serving bowls? Just things to just make your table beautiful. It was always so much fun to go down and find that in your basement with all these supplies.
Oh, wow. So you had to stick to a budget, but it sounds like that kind of felt like a wonderland.
Right, but the budget was very critical. You had to stay within your budget. And also it was during the time of the Hong Kong flu, which I got during that time. So my people came down to find me laying on the kitchen floor that passed out from the
oh my goodness.
And somebody took over and got everything taken care of, and I was not taking care of the baby at that time, but the home management house was really fun and also entertaining. We had a little girl that was four. She came in and she says, "Where's your bathroom?"
Oh, Marilyn, thank you so much for sharing. And Sandy, so many of us have great memories of our college roommates. Some of us have bad memories of our college roommates. But living with women in one of these houses must have been a really intense experience. Do you have friendships that have lasted from your time in the home management house?
No, not from home management, interestingly enough. But we did. We had a really good group of women. We had one girl who was married and was pregnant at the time, actually, and so she would go home at night unless she was in charge of the infant.
Oh, wow.
But we all got along very well. If you always had someone to lean on. If you were in charge of the food, you had someone who was also there that you could at least talk with or assign something to. And
partners.
Exactly.
Oh,
and the same. Yes.
Sandy, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sandy Ulner was in the home management program, one of the last groups to have a baby in the house in the summer of 1958. Mary DeBaca, thank you.
It was lots of fun.
Mary DeBaca is retired diversity director at Iowa State University and former assistant professor in the College of Family and Consumer Science. We've been talking about the home management program at Iowa State University between 1924 and 1958.